Welcome back as we now continue into chapter 11 of our study and focus on Christian beliefs using Wayne Grudem's book that details what he calls 20 basic beliefs that every Christian should know. Today we're going to look at the resurrection. What is the resurrection? Friends, in 1 Corinthians 15, 14 through 19, we're told that Jesus rose from the dead and ascended into heaven as a conquering king. Note this from the very beginning. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the declaration of the God-man as the divine king of all creation. He's the victorious, conquering king. Amen. Let's take a quick look at the details of the resurrection. Grudem tells us that all four Gospels contain accounts of Jesus' resurrection. Acts continually speaks of Jesus' resurrection, encouraging people to trust him and to trust in him as the one who is alive and reigning in heaven. His resurrection led to his reigning in heaven. Christ's resurrection was not a simple coming back from the dead, no. Instead, when Jesus rose from the dead, he began a new kind of human life in which he had a perfect body that was no longer subject to weakness, aging, death, or decay. That's 1 Corinthians 15, 53. And Jesus' new body was a physical body. Don't miss this. His resurrected body was a physical body. Matthew 28, 9, Acts 10, 41, Luke 24, 30, and John 20, 27. You see, Jesus physically rose from the dead with a body made of flesh and bones. Think about this, because again, this is not some kind of theological term that doesn't have rubber hitting the road, doesn't have real life application. When we read in the scriptures that Jesus returned, he returned with flesh and bones. That's Luke 24, 39. With flesh and bones. So now we're seeing this new human, this new bodily way. We're seeing the promises of God on display. This is an understanding of not just what Jesus did, but what Jesus promised. And not just for him, but for all of the children of God. Let's take a look at the results of the resurrection and start to piece this together. In 1 Peter 1:3, Christ earned for us a new future life that is like his own. This is the promise. So this is where now it begins to tie in, not just from Christ, but to Christians. Although our bodies are not yet like his new body, our spirits have already been made alive with new resurrection power. So you're seeing this, the resurrection power. Again, it's not just in the bodily raising from the dead of Jesus. This is where everything begins to change to the glory of God. You see, resurrection power helps us live the lives that we were made to live. Amen. To gain more and more victory over sin. Amen. Because of the resurrection, we can consider ourselves dead to sin. Amen. That's Romans 6:11. We can see that sin no longer has dominion over us. This is Romans 6:14. And again, I say amen. Sin will not rule over us or control us. The resurrection power enables us to do the work of Christ and to have victory over all of the spiritual warfare and works of the devil. Acts 1:8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Why? So that you can be God's witnesses. You and I can be witnesses of Christ, empowered by his Spirit. This is what the resurrection brings on. Jesus' resurrection ensures our right standing before God. So it's not just for the here and now, as great as that is. It's the resurrection that assures that the children of God will have a right standing before Almighty God. Romans 4:25 speaks to this. When God raised Jesus from the dead, he was affirming Jesus' work. That's what we see in Romans 4:25. That to affirm the work of Jesus in the resurrection of Jesus is to affirm the promises and those expectations that Christians have, that Christ gave us. He was affirming that Jesus' work on our behalf was complete. That's what the resurrection represents. When God raised Jesus and he proved himself to be the God-man, it is God affirming the work that was done, that completed, as Jesus said, it is finished. That put into place, it etched in stone, the cement dried. All of those promises that Jesus made were affirmed by God the Father in the resurrection. The penalty for sin was paid, and therefore Jesus did not need to remain dead any longer. That's the message of Hebrews 1:3. Since God raised the Lord, he will also raise us up by his power. That's not my promise. That's the promise of God in 1 Corinthians 6:14. He who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us into his presence. Again, that's the promise of Almighty God in 2 Corinthians 4:14. Do you see why the resurrection is so much more than a chunk of history in religious storytelling? No, this is the place where the power shifted. This is where the promises become alive and active. In Jesus' resurrection, we see a picture of what is to come for us. Again, 1 Corinthians 15:20 and following. The final resurrection, our final resurrection, we will all receive as Christians a new body, just like the one that Jesus now inhabits. Praise God. And this all came to fruition. The resurrection led to the ascension. And let's see that connection before we close. You see, when Jesus left earth, he left for a specific place. The resurrection didn't end here on earth. The resurrection led to the ascension, which brought Jesus back to heaven. And Christ's life, it provides for us a pattern. His is the pattern. Just as his resurrection lets us know what will eventually happen to us, his ascension lets us know where we will eventually go. Amen. We, with our new perfect bodies, amen, will live forever in our new perfect world, amen, with our perfect, loving, resurrected God. His name is Jesus. Amen and amen.